Welcome, and feel free to move in a little closer if you like. I'm Doug Lotti. I'm a principal program manager in the Sky for Business product group. Right now, I've been working on the early adopter programs, not early adopters so much as the pre-release programs for some of our voice products. And I won't let you introduce yourselves. Sorry about that. It's not that I don't care who you are. Just don't think we have the time for it. I want to talk to you today about dial plans and voice routes. The scope from the session was kind of in the session description, and I just want to tell you now, I did not write this. I did not write the session. I wrote the session. I didn't write the description or the title. And so it's actually quite an ambitious scope to cover. And so it's a little bit of a deep session, deeper than a lot of the others that are talking about Cloud PBX. But because we're trying to cover so much, dial plans and voice routing, and from the cloud to on-premises, it's gonna be kind of frantic. I'll just tell you this now while we're starting. If you're here just wondering about Cloud PBX and wondering if it's the right thing for you, right, and you haven't actually done anything yet, you're just getting started, there's actually a better session at this time slot for you to attend. That's Jamie Stark's Cloud PBX. So this is really, maybe I'll poll the audience. How many have been deploying on-premises for a while, been deploying Sky for Business on-premises? Okay, you're probably in there. You know what we have on-premises, and you're maybe thinking about the cloud. How many are thinking about the cloud? All right, that's the right answer given the banners and the keynotes that we've seen so far. So what I would like to do then, I think this is going to be great. I want to basically compare and contrast what you're doing today on-premises, either for yourself or if you're a consultant or a services organization for your customers, with what we have on-premises. There'll be some new things that I'll talk about that have just come out, some things about to come out that will kind of help fill in the gaps, but still around dial plans and voice routing. Let me just establish a vocabulary. You should all know this. I expect that you do. But I want to make sure that we know that we have a common vernacular here when we refer to these different deployment options. Because we really have, if you want to use a Skype for Business client and make a telephone call, we have, I've summarized it here as four different options for how you get from your client actually out to the PSTN. And on the left, I've given them a letter. And it starts with the most cloudy at the top. So at the top, we have everything's in the cloud. You've bought Cloud PBX, which is our PBX capability, and you've also bought a calling plan from us. Cloud PBX plus PSTN calling, you buy that from us. Everything's in the cloud. You don't manage anything on-premises. After that, as we move down, you start putting a little more on-premises. The next step down is the minimal thing you could have on-premises, the cloud connector. So in this talk, you'll see I'm going to use the letter C to refer to everything in the cloud. I'm going to use A for cloud connector deployments. You could think of A for appliance. Then maybe you already have most of you said you have an on-premises deployment already. You want to use that existing deployment as part of a hybrid solution and route your PSTN calls out through that. That's H for hybrid. Or you could have everything on-premises, where your users are homed on-premises, and I'll use P for that. I thought about using 1, 2, 3, 4 or ABCD. You're wondering why I chose these, but I didn't want to show a preference, right? If I put them 1, 2, 3, 4, then you'd automatically think whichever was the number one was the most preferred. So I want to treat them all somewhat equally, if you'll allow me that. And then basically, if you haven't downloaded the deck yet, when you look at every slide, I'll indicate which scenario that slide is covering, because you're going to do dial plans a little differently in one place than in the other. So I've used those same CAHP letters on every slide. Okay. So that's the background. I want to say a couple things I should have said a few minutes ago. One is about questions. I've found over the years that I get better the more you ask questions, so that I know if what I'm saying is hitting home, or if you need more details. So I'd like to keep this as interactive as we can, given the size of the room. So please feel free to ask questions anytime you want. There may be questions I defer because answering the question, spending time on it, might not be relevant to the whole audience, but that's okay, ask a question. It would be extremely helpful if you went to a microphone and asked the question. That will keep there from being a long silent pause on the recording that's happening. So if you just step up to the microphone, I'll see you there, I'll let you ask your question. If for some reason you're too far from one or not able to get to one, I will repeat the question if I need to. All right. So far on this slide, all I talked about was where the user is homed and where their PSTN calls go. You should also be aware of the little note at the bottom. Where their conferences are hosted follows their home, where they're homed. So if they're homed online, their conferences are held online, and we'd be using the PSTN conferencing service for Microsoft for dial-in. If they're on-premises, they'd be using the on-premises deployment. I'm not going to talk much about conferencing at all. I just wanted to point that out for the sake of completeness. All right. So with that background, this is the one slide. Everything, the whole session is in this one slide. And those of you who know me have seen me do sessions on one slide before. And so this is slightly different. It's not a flow chart this time. But what we're doing here is I tried to think of all the different, and these are on the, you'll be able to download these later. I mean, I'm happy you're taking pictures, but you can download the deck later. You might want to get a picture of me. I tried to think of the different elements that you have in a deployment around dial plans and voice routing and PSTN calling in general. That's what's here in this column, the different options. Yep, these different options here. And I thought about, I listed here in the different columns what you configure or how you do it. So this is a good one-pager shorthand. Of course, I've got some detailed slides that go into this. But this will kind of sum it up, and we're just kind of going to work our way through here in the order that made sense to me. I want to point out a couple things. This is as of this month. This is as of this month. So some of these things are changing. I'll try to point out when I know what it's changing. The next time I do this, present this slide, I'll update that date in there if things have changed. I don't want to set that one, just go away. All right. But let's start talking on the top row. Let's talk about dial plan, and let's talk about the most complex deployment you could have, which is on-premises. And this is when you're doing this at home, when you download the deck, you can actually just, I'm going to tap on over here on full custom dial plan support in the upper right, and it'll go to the slides for that. And now you can see I've indicated down below the legend down here, these colors indicate what this is relevant to. So a dial plan defined on-premises will apply to when your users are homed on-premises, but also when you've chosen the hybrid option, your users are homed online, and but they're making their calls, their PSTN connectivity is through your existing deployment. So I expect, given that the depth of this was 300, most of you already have done this. You've defined dial plans in your existing deployment. It's based on regular expressions that take a short, well, potentially probably a short dial string that the user enters, converts it to E164. Again, I'm going to assume we're all converting to E164. You obviously have other options within your own deployment, but that's what we recommend even in your own isolated deployments, but definitely needed in the cloud. Then you can assign these dial plans to users, to sites, pools, trunks. You have a lot of options for how you create the dial plans. I've tried to, even though I don't go into a whole lot of detail on each of these, I try to highlight some of the questions I get over time, like should I just create a dial plan that's assigned to my pool, then any users I move to that pool automatically get that dial plan. And then if a user moves from one geography to another, that geography is served by a different pool, they'll just pick up the dial plan assigned to the other pool. I get that question a lot. Most of the time I've found that your pools are not really granular enough. You're centralizing pools, but you have unique dial plans that you want. So you end up creating dial plans and assigning them directly to users, which is a little more management overhead, but gives you a lot of flexibility in the dial. And basically, in this is how you take those users' habits of dialing and and convert them to E164. When you do the hybrid deployment here, there is, when you set up the hybrid configuration, there is a parameter on that hybrid configuration that says to use the on-premises dial plan. That's actually the default, so you probably don't have to fiddle with that much. But if you're doing cloud connector, notice the A is not highlighted. The A is not dark. It's grayed out on that slide. So this doesn't apply to cloud connector. We do not use the on-premises dial plan when you have cloud connector. Okay. This is what the interface looks like, where you're defining these patterns and to match, and then a translation. I'm not going to go into the details of these because I want to cover a lot of different topics. But that applies in these two scenarios with on-premises. I did want to point out one case where you might want to assign a dial plan to a pool. But here, this pool represents really a trunk. I get this question was coming up in on-premises deployments only. Well, generally, I have the H. It would apply for hybrid as well, but it first came up in the on-premises deployment where you want to normalize the phone numbers on inbound calls, and you do that by assigning a dial plan to the trunk. So I just pointed out here for you where that comes up. If you have, on your on-premises deployment, if you have analog phones, just a short note there to be aware, this is where you normalize the numbers on the that are coming in from analog phones. I fell into this in the beginning. Other people have. They think they should assign the plan to the phone's object. But the problem is we don't know at the time we're doing normalization. It's coming in on that trunk. We don't know. We don't even know what phone it's coming from. So we apply that to the trunk. Okay. So let me go back to this slide. So I wanted to. So that's how we used to do it, right? We used to do. We had to mess with all the regular expressions, figure out the user's dial habits, and codify those in the normalization rules. Now, when you move to the cloud, hopefully you expect things to get easier, right? So we have what we do today in the cloud is a simple country-based dial plan. So I'll look at this in the online scenario, you're completely in the cloud. There's a simple country-based dial plan. It's automatically assigned when the user is licensed. So if you look at when you assign that user that license that first time, the Cloud PBX license, you have to specify their country location. From that point on, they get that country's dial plan, and they get you can only assign them numbers that are within that country as well. So this is all tied together. They'll have DIDs in that country. And it does change automatically. If you go back and change their license location and give them a new DID, we take care of giving them the new dial plan. So this has happened when the user, this is always applied when the user's homed online. This is just a screenshot of where that looks like. This is, you're in the Office 365 Admin Center. You're wanting to assign this fellow a Cloud PBX license. You have to pick this location first. And then he'll get the US dial plan. And then you can assign him US phone numbers. So if you were to look, and you could do this in PowerShell, this is PowerShell connected to the tenant. I could do this live and give you some demos. But you'll see here that the dial plan, we've defined basically over 200 country-based dial plans. And if you just look at them, they're just the two-letter ISO codes for the countries. So you can look at, there's a US dial plan, and these are the four normalization rules that are in it. Okay. So we've set that up to basically take what we think is a normal in-country dialing behavior for users there and normalize it to E164. So there's an international dial prefix, and then we expect they'd be dialing an international number here, so that's for international dialing. For long distance, a lot of people would just dial 10 digits. That rule supports that. Okay, so these rules are already there. They might not be perfect. We had a case where in one of the countries we messed up a rule. So if you can do this and you can look at the rules in whatever country you're familiar with the habits there, if you find an issue, please let us know about it. That's what you have today. So it doesn't accommodate extension dialing where you want to You have DIDs assigned to your users that are that map up to their extension. You want to be able to just dial their extension and reach that other person. So today, really, the only option you have is to, there's a question from over here. The question is, can you strip digits or do transformations? Like for when, okay. The question is, can you do the access prefix, the external access prefix, and strip the digits off? No, you can't. Right here, you have no control at all. These are set rules. You can't modify them. On premises, we have, you can either do your custom rules or use this external access prefix feature. But here, no. So, but there's a change coming. While I was talking about extensions, the option you have today is to kind of re-educate the users. You're getting a soft phone client. You're probably going to start dialing by name. Extension dialing, it's my feeling, extension dialing is really helpful in this first transition. They're used to it, but I think it goes away pretty quickly. So you can just say, we're dialing by name now instead of by extension. You'll have the people that you contact most often right there in your buddy list. Yeah. Okay, there's a feedback. I'll just repeat that for the recording. It's fine. Not as true for the blue-collar workers. And certainly not true for, if you have a worker that's bound just to a phone that doesn't have the richest contact list, yeah. So it doesn't apply in all cases. So you'll be happy to know that, you'll be happy to know that custom dial plans in the cloud are on the roadmap. The work's being done now. I'm not going to give a date on it, but probably before you see me present again, it will be done. Do we have if you're close to a microphone and you have a question, just go ahead and hop up to the microphone. That'd be helpful. So the reason I started showing the on-premises dial plans and talked about the rules for them is so that you would see that that's going to be the same thing we're going to do online. Basically, you'll be able to create in your tenant, you'll be able to create a custom dial plan. You'll replace that country dial plan with your own, and you can put whatever rules in it you want. So here, now I would give a slightly different answer to can you strip digits, because you can build a rule now. Once you get this capability, you can build a rule that recognizes when the user started dialing with a 9 and take it off. So the answer now would be yes. And you can also just do extension dialing and just add digits as well. Initially, there's a little caveat here. Initially, this is only exposed through PowerShell. Over time, and not that long of a time, you'll see it right in the Skype for Business Admin Center, like you manage or anything else. But we expect that when we first release this, it's only going to be admins that are pretty comfortable with PowerShell, or maybe some other script that does it for you. All right. And so, I've highlighted the options that this would apply to. Right now, so for this blue H here, which is the hybrid where you're using your on-premises, right now you have the option of doing a custom dial plan in your on-premises deployment. In the future, you'll have the option to do that in the cloud instead, okay? All right, let's go back here. So that's dial plans. And again, that's all summarized here on this top row of what you get. Full custom on-premises now, country-based in the cloud right now, but custom coming. Okay. Let's just move to PSTN routing. Okay, so we'll talk about this row here, PSTN routing. There is, let me switch to the kind of, talk about the on-premises deployment first. Again, this might leave you wishing for a little more on-premises, but I think by this time, this has been the same voice routing configuration we've had on-premises for many years, so I didn't intend to go deep into it. Again, I think most of you are familiar with it. But on-premises, we take a voice policy, put into that some usages, PSTN usages, and those have routes. So we get the usages let us build this many-to-many relationship between policies and routes. And all I wanted to do was establish that vocabulary. This gives us some flexibility in that we can later add a route and just attach it to the right usages. And then anybody who had that policy with that usage in it just automatically gets those new routes. So the guy setting up gateways doesn't really have to know about classes of service. Or someone could build a new class of service without understanding your gateways, because they can just, if you named your usages right, you know which usages to put into the policy, and you don't have to worry about where gateways are. So it gives a little flexibility. It gives a little isolation of the different roles and features. And we have all of this on premises. Now you could do this. What happens on the, we take that policy, we sign it to a user, and there's a couple things that are controlled in there. They're calling features. So if you think about the policy, it's got two big parts. It's got all the calling features that they have. Can they do call park? Can they do simultaneous ringing? All of those features. And then on top of that, what routes should we take for the numbers they dial? So we build their class of service in that same voice policy. I highlight this now because this is different on premises. Online, we've got a voice policy controlling the features and a voice routing policy controlling the routes, and you don't have as much control on there. But the routes or the usages then are that ordered. So I have a voice policy. I can order that any way I want to have the route selected that I want. So this lets us do on premises. Again, I have the H and the P highlighted on this slide. Because on premises, you build these policies, and you can have a gateway selected in any order. So say I'm a multinational company, I've got gateways in the US, and I've got gateways in Germany. I can do least cost routing, where if someone in the US dials a phone number in Germany, the route says, oh, that was a plus 49, that's a German number, I'll send it out the gateway in Germany. And you do that, if that makes sense for your organization, to control costs, right, least cost routing. And I wanted just to contrast that with what we do in the cloud. So the route is what takes that phone number, the plus 49 in this case, and picks the trunk or the gateway appropriate for that. And that is also how you're setting up your class of service. You might have one user that doesn't have a route for plus 49, so they can't dial that country or any international numbers. Okay, so we've combined selecting a voice route along with a class of service in there, okay? This is what it looks like in the GUI in case we have some other questions about it. But basically, I have these routes that are matching on very specific phone numbers and sending them to specific gateways that you can specify, right? So I know there's a lot of complexity here. I could slow down and spend a little more time on it. Really, again, I'm most interested in comparing and contrasting. I expect you know some of this from on-premises already. But one thing I did want to highlight is because you can, and as this picture shows, you can take in your one route, here we are editing a voice route, you can drop in multiple gateways, trunks we call them. So we can basically randomly select one of these for a given call. Then we can take these routes and we can have them in we can have a PSTN usage that has two different routes for the same number out to the same gateway. And in the voice policy, we could have two different usages that ultimately went. So there's basically three ways to get a route for the same number to different gateways and when you might do this. So this is just, I think, a nice little summary of how you want to, if you're managing a large deployment with multiple gateways in different regions and you want to control preference, here's what you should do. If you put those multiple trunks in the same route, so at that lowest level, you have a route, it's plus 49 or plus 1206, a Seattle area code, and you put multiple gateways in there, we'll randomly select between those, and it's great for load balancing between those two gateways. So if you're going to put them in the same route, they should be essentially identically configured, have the same cost for calls going out, because we're just going to select randomly from them and send the call out. If you want to do least cost routing and just have a remote gateway selected for numbers that are close to that gateway based on the trunks it has to the PSTN, then I would suggest you take multiple routes that are for a route for plus 49, a route for plus 44, or maybe they don't need to be that specific, maybe they're broader, but you put those in the same usage, And then you can order the usages in the policy to have, you can have your least cost routes preferred and then fall back to, so say I can't get to that gateway over the network. I'm trying to call Germany. The routes say I should try the German gateway first. If the network's down, though, maybe lower in the priority, I want to have a US gateway, something I'm more likely to get to. That's putting multiple routes in the same usage. But you want to have those fallback routes. That example I just gave was really after least cost routing a fallback, you want to have that route in a different usage. Okay. So if this isn't resonating with you right now, when you get back and you're thinking about your dial plan design, you can come back and refer to this. But it's only when the routes are in completely different usages that you'll get a guarantee on the priority of selection, because it's the voice policy that has the ordered list of usages. Okay. That's the complexity we have on premises. We can build that, we can build these same usages, and we can put them in a routing policy for hybrid. So there's one scenario here where you have a user homed online, you've got cloud PBX, but you want to route their calls out through your existing trunks, and you have an existing Skype for Business deployment. You can create a new object called a voice routing policy. This is PowerShell only. And take those same usages you created for your on-premises deployment, put them in that routing policy, grant that to the user, and it will follow them. So even when they're moved online and they're making calls, when they route out, they'll still get least cost routing. Okay. So this is, if you go back to this row where I have this summarized, this is what I've been talking before. You can implement least cost routing, route calls out a gateway that is close to the number being called. Now, you don't have much control over this online, but I thought I'd point out what we do. If you're purely in the cloud, you've assigned a US telephone number to a subscriber. That call, whenever they place a call, it will go out through our US PSTN connections. We don't do any least cost routing. Now, really, you shouldn't even care about this, because you're not, when you buy plans, you're not paying, you know, per minute for long distance calls on trunks, right? The way we sell the plans are either you have domestic calling or you have domestic international calling. But it doesn't really matter to you where the call goes out. Not like if you were managing all your own gateways on premises and you can save some toll charges by doing least cost routing. But we send that number out to the PSTN where their actual number came from. So no least cost routing. No, you don't have any control over that either. If you have Cloud Connector, and there's other sessions completely dedicated to Cloud Connector, so I wasn't intending to replace those. If you have Cloud Connector, then your Cloud Connectors are grouped into hybrid PSTN sites. And you got multiple Cloud Connectors in one site. But a user, when you set up the user, when you set up the user, you will assign them to a PSTN site, and all of their calls will go out that. So that's important to remember for some of the other questions, some of the other considerations here. Users are always routed out the cloud connector that you've assigned them, or the site that you've assigned them to. So no least cost routing there either, and that might be something you do want to be aware of, because that cloud connector is connecting to your trunk. So if they do make international calls, it's going to go out the site that they're a part of. Okay. So I mentioned moving down to calling features. I think I've kind of covered this before. On premises, the voice policy has all of the features that you can specify and control. Online, there are a couple predefined voice policies. Business voice for the those that are getting PSTN calling from us. Hybrid voice for the other users. So you can see those. But that's where the features that they have are defined. Their class of service is controlled differently. On premises, I showed that complex voice policy. That's their class of service being built here in this. Basically, class of service being, can they make international calls? Can they only make local calls? You have a lot of flexibility on premises to define exactly which set of numbers they can dial. In the cloud, you have a couple ways to control it. For those that get PSTN calling from us, this first column, it's controlled by the license that you apply to the user. So you just assign a PSTN domestic calling plan or a domestic international calling plan. That's the class of service that we have for them in the cloud. With Cloud Connector, you have a voice routing policy. So Cloud Connector doesn't have custom voice routing policies. So I talked about when you build a voice routing policy on premises, you can that can be custom, you can do what you want. But there's two pre-built, there's two pre-built voice routing policies for the online users, and that's whether international calls are allowed or international calls are disallowed. So we basically control that there. So if you have Cloud Connector and you set their, if you have Cloud Connector, you have another option. But if you have, if you have on-premises connectivity, you have another option. If you have Cloud Connector right here, you set their, and you want to control the numbers they can dial, you set their voice routing policy to international calls disallowed. On-premises, go ahead, Ken. So Ken's question is a great question, one that I was hoping wasn't asked, but I have an answer. The you set the policy, so online, and you say international calls disallowed. We do that just based on the country code. So if they're in country code, like you, the example you use, +44, international calls are defined as numbers outside of +44. In North America, we have several countries sharing +1, and it turns out we don't distinguish between them. So if you have a North American number and you're set to international calls disallowed, US and Canada are considered essentially the same for the Cloud Connector case. Because we just, in the Cloud Connector case, we're distinguishing only on the number. That's as of September, right? That could change. That's not the same for the licenses applied. So if you have PSTN calling, you have a domestic license, the entitlement service is a little more sophisticated, it knows. I'm told that won't happen. You couldn't have a US number and call Canada as a domestic call. When you have an on-premises deployment, again, remember you can use this custom voice routing policy that I showed here. This custom voice routing policy can do a more granular class of service. And it's assigned to the users. You basically run these commandlets on premises and those attributes get synced up. Okay. All right. That's the basics of the dial plan and voice routing. So let me pause for just a minute and answer questions, because I know there's some areas that I probably didn't go as deep as you'd like, other areas that aren't interesting because of your scenario. So let me know if you have questions, I can expand on anything. No? All right. These bottom four lines on my slide then don't necessarily have, not directly related to dial plan or voice routing, but they come up in conversations with either in your businesses or with your customers. So how do we set the caller ID? So in the on-premises deployment, what you're familiar with is in the trunk configuration, we can do an outbound number translation that will translate the numbers on outbound calls. We can translate both to and the from, and that's one way we can get caller ID override. There actually is another, it depends on how you want to do this. I didn't get this on the slide. There's another way to do a caller ID override based on a voice policy. But basically, we have this capability to manipulate the numbers here, and there's different things we can do. We have not had that. We haven't had any capability to do that in the cloud until very recently. So that's primarily what I wanted to highlight here. We now have the capability to change the outbound caller ID for those users that are homed in the cloud. It's a the caller ID policy, a new policy you can assign to them. And you can create your own custom policies online in your tenant. And you can do basically three things. So this is a user that's homed in the cloud. When they make a call, by default, their caller ID is their line URI, their phone number, right? So you can do that. You can block it so you're completely anonymous. So when you make the call out, you would be shown, or just be caller ID blocked or shown as anonymous. Or you can replace it with a service number. So, yeah. And a service number, until up through today, has only been a conference bridge. So this doesn't, so by service number, I mean a number you acquire from us for a service. Let me just hop over to my, this is the Skype for Business Admin Center. I can go to voice, and I can go to look at phone numbers. I can acquire phone numbers that are of two types, either user numbers or service numbers. So with this caller ID policy, we can take the user's line URI, their regular phone number, and replace it with a service number as it goes out. Okay. So today that's pretty limiting because the only service numbers we have are for bridges, but it's going to start to make a lot more sense when we start having both auto attendance, which we demoed, which Ben demoed on Monday, and call queues or hunt groups. So now you can take a call that I'm placing, and when it goes out, the caller ID will be the auto attendant. So when someone calls me back, they'll get the company's auto attendant or get the hunt group for the department I'm in or something like that. And I have that configuration set up. I've tested it. It works just fine because I've got auto attendants in preview now.
I got one question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is that going to replace the any kind of UM auto attendant type stuff in the cloud? For?
All right, so the question is about, does this auto attendant that I've just introduced replace the UM auto attendant? And the short answer is yes. The longer answer is as we built voicemail for the cloud to scale up to the millions of people we have, and as we're building these auto attendants, we're not leveraging the legacy exchange features that we had before. These will, I don't know, I think there was another session, I think Marina was here doing another session on auto attendants and call queues, but you take this together and look at the roadmap we have for this over the next quarter, and it essentially online replaces everything you know about response groups, menus, business hours, greetings, the different routing methods for queues, and so on. It's going to be delivered in phases over time, but it's all coming. Now, so when we have that, you can take the caller ID and replace it with one of those service numbers. Now, we don't support changing the caller ID to any arbitrary number. And those of you that have probably tried to do that, you run into cases where the carrier in the US wouldn't accept a phone number from the UK that was put out as caller ID or something, right? So there's a lot of potential issues we could get into if we let you set any number. So we're keeping it safe. You acquire a service number from us, we know when that goes out that we'll be safe replacing the caller ID with that number. Yes? The question is, do I know if these commandlets are coming to on-prem server? And I don't know authoritatively if this same capability will be put on-prem, because this is actually the reason you're asking, I'm sure, is because the on-prem way of doing caller ID override is kind of cumbersome, right? Yeah, it is kind of cumbersome. And this is actually, I can create a policy, I can assign it to a user, and it's pretty straightforward. I don't know authoritatively, but I'll say I doubt it. I don't think that, I haven't seen this particular capability being planned for on-prem. But, you know, don't hold me to that. At least I have the framework for a slide to update when that does happen.
Are we going to be able to port service numbers?
Absolutely. The question is, can you port service numbers? And you can actually do that today. There's a couple things to be aware of when you do port a service number. Is that when you go to voice and port orders, do not use this option on the left. Use let us help you if you have a bunch of numbers, or service numbers, or 1-800 numbers. If you want to take your 1-800 number and port it in, follow this link to open a service request. There's a help page there that you download a letter of authorization, you submit that in a service request. The main reason, the option on the left is great for users that, numbers that you'll assign to users, but when we port those numbers and acquire them, we don't get the concurrent call capacity on them that you would need. So we do distinguish these two different types of numbers as user or subscriber and service. And so the automated interface that works in the US is great for user numbers, but if it's service, follow that other service request process. But you can port those numbers to us, toll numbers or toll-free numbers. We'll get them with the concurrent call capacity that we need. They'll show up here as unassigned, and then you can assign them to a conference bridge, an auto attendant, a hunt group. Okay? All right. So yeah, here's that. Here's a couple different users where I'm going to going to replace the caller ID with a service number that I own. The interface, you know, it checks this. It checks to make sure that this is a valid service number that you have on your tenant to replace that out there. Is there a question?
Yes. Is there going to be support for something like location-based routing? For example, we have an office in India, and there's mm-hmm. a lot of government regulations about how calls go in and out, you know, things like that. It gets pretty tricky, and that's mm-hmm. one thing we're currently evaluating as we move from on-prem to cloud. You know, what the supportability will be for that.
Yeah, so we are looking at how we can roll out PSTN calling in India. It will be more likely done in a cloud way that you don't have to worry about rather than like location-based routing where you have to think much about it. So I don't have the details. So I'd say there's two answers to give. One is we're really not looking at implementing the on-premises location-based routing directly because that requires a level of network awareness that we don't have the infrastructure in the tenant to build. So we're not going to do it exactly like that, but we are looking to be able to provide these services in India. Okay. Okay, and then here's an example of just where it's blocked, and you can have this on a mix of different users. All right? Yes. Oh, is there a question? I think the question is about on this page. Let me get back to this page where I had the caller ID policy on this here. This is not really E164. Yeah, this is not. If you were to look at the actual service itself, it's got the E164 in there. It's just when you're mapping this policy to that, they just left off the plus. But it is the E164. Strictly speaking, E164 doesn't include the plus. That's the RFC that says to add the plus, but I hear you. This is just, you just put in the number that matches the service number you've acquired. All right. Back. All right. Emergency calling. I wanted to just mention some distinctions in emergency calling. This is also something that, you know, will grow, will get more advanced and over time. But if you think about what we have on premises, you have a very rich feature set there to build location awareness so that as the user roams around between your different buildings, between your different offices, you can have different routes for their emergency calls, right? I will mention, how'd that get there? Let me go back to that slide. I put it in a slider link. I did want to mention for one change that we've just very recently made in emergency dialing is support for multiple emergency numbers. So if you have, you want to route 911 calls differently than maybe 500 to a local emergency desk. You want them kind of both treated as emergency numbers, but you want the routing to be handled differently. Or I think it's a better example, in Europe you have one number to catch the police, one number for fire or other emergency, right? And you want to route those differently. So we now have support for that. It's dependent somewhat on the client, so to get the full experience you would need the latest Windows client. The other clients will just continue to use the one number that you already had defined, But now here's an example of adding multiple numbers to that. It's done here in PowerShell. It's the same location policy you had before, but now you can add multiple emergency numbers to it. Remember, in that location policy, you also define a PSTN usage. That PSTN usage can have multiple routes, so it would have to have different routes for these dial strings. Right? So you'd have a route for 911, a route for 500 in that same PSTN usage, because the location policy has one usage in it. All right. So you get a pretty rich capability that's dynamic when the user moves around on premises.
My question was going to be on, for the emergency routing services, where does that go to from a online premise or online cloud connector type?
Yeah, so I'm getting to online here. Okay. So this is on premises, you can route to specific gateways. There are ELIN gateways that have support for emergency and calling. Or you can use a service provider online, which are essentially these three options here. The routing to emergency services is not it's not dynamic. It doesn't change when the user roams. So in with PSTN calling from the cloud, when you assign the user their phone number, if you remember that interface, you also when at the time you assign their phone number, you assign them an emergency location, and that's where and we say in the interface, this is if they call emergency services, that's where the responders will go. And so you just pick a user, and it'll show you've defined their number, you define their emergency location. And unfortunately, that doesn't at this point in time, that doesn't change when the user is working from home in a completely different location.
So then, how do you meet the law, the letter of the law for 911 requirements, E911 requirements? Stateside.
Yeah, it's a great question that I'm not qualified to answer. That's what we have. Yeah. With Cloud Connector, you have routing to their site. So whatever hybrid PSTN site they're a member of, they route to, and then for on-premises connectivity, when you have your own deployment, you could use the voice routing policy to send that to a local gateway. But again, it's not dynamic. You're not getting the full E911 support that you have with on-premises enterprise voice. Okay. Yes? Okay, I'll repeat the question. I'm not sure. In Link 2013, when you routed the call, there was a limit to the length. Was it the emergency, yeah. Emergency mask or the dial string? The call center number that would actually go to. I'm not aware. I'm sorry. I'm not either aware of the problem or if there's been a solution to it. So it might be. You can try to follow up with me. There's some discussion that goes along with the deck on the Ignite site. I'll come back and check that discussion. So post your question there related to this session, and I'll see what I can find out. Okay. Any other questions? All right. This was interesting, not something that you have a lot of control over, but I wanted to mention it. There's a lot of things that we do differently in the service for a couple reasons. One is we have this deployment in the cloud that's handling lots of tenants, right, that should all be isolated from each other. You don't want to be sharing your directories with each other. So we've got to isolate the tenants. But then we've got a global deployment that when we manage it, we want to kind of treat it all as one, right? So we've done some things with PSTN routing it's not what you would do on premises. We're using capabilities that don't exist on premises. And one of them affects the reverse number lookup. When you have your own on-premises deployment and a user dials a phone number, that goes to, where does that go? That goes to, my ink won't go away. That gets compared against all the users and all the services, the contact objects you have for those services, to see if it applied, that phone number that was dialed, to see if it matches an existing, something that's on premises, and then we'll call directly there. When you move to online, we do that reverse number lookup for users, but we handle our service numbers in a completely different way. So anytime, if you dial the phone number of a conference bridge, that conference bridge call will go out to the PSTN in any of the cloud where the user is homed in the cloud, any of those scenarios, these. You don't see it. I did tests. The call setup is still really quick, but if you look at the logs, you can see that a mediation server was used in there. So that's... I just point that out because it was mildly interesting to me, right? So, but we do reverse number lookup for the user. So if you dial the user's phone number, you'll notice it won't go out to the PSTN. It will find that user. It will go directly to them. Okay. And then the last thing I wanted to mention is some of the network awareness that we have in on-premises deployment, whether it's call admission control, media bypass, the location-based routing, which was the subject of a session I'd done before at Link conference, the location policies and the E911 capabilities. At the moment, none of that exists in the cloud. So you'll want to take advantage of these on-premises, and that might be a reason that you choose an on-premises deployment, or you might find out the benefits of the cloud. You know, you can make do without some of these features. So. It came a couple times, that location-based routing capability we have on premises is the only slide I wanted to mention. It takes your normal routing of calls that are based on the called number and adds to it this capability to make sure that the call is going out a gateway that's in the same site as the caller. So it's based on their location. Rather than the number they're dialing, it's based on where they're coming from. So it's great in those geographies where you do need to be compliant with regulations that where you can't do toll bypass, you can't do that least cost routing, and make sure that it goes out a gateway local to the user rather than local to the number. Okay, so I didn't cover, this was I think most of what I wanted to cover in terms of the voice, the dial plans, the voice routing, the features we have between the different PSTN options that you have. I didn't go into any call flows. We have some extra time if there's an interest in a specific call flow. I've got my pen, I've got a virtual whiteboard here. We can sketch out some other things that you're interested in, or I can just pause and take other questions that you have. We got one coming to the microphone, so I'll take the microphone.
I'll be the guy who stands up at the mic. So with all of these dial plan changes, is there a way for us to essentially implement extensions as a result of this online?
There is, there will be a way to implement extensions, but maybe not in the exhaustive way that I can tell you're thinking about. So we will have, custom dial plans, and you could take a short set of digits, you might think of it as an extension, a short set of digits that a user dials, and normalize that into an E164. And that's great if your extensions match like a subset of the DID, right? It's the last few digits of the DID. So you could do that. Now, if you're doing PSTN calling in the cloud and you dial the extension of someone, you could have it normalized to an on-premises user, but it might be going, if you're just doing PSTN calling, it might be actually making a PSTN call rather than staying on net. You would need either the cloud connector, the A or the H options here to keep that on net. But you could do it. It's not, there are scenarios, if you've run into any deployments where the extension is not a subset of the DID, that we still won't have good support for that scenario. So, does that answer?
Yep.
Okay. Here?
So does Microsoft have plans to update the emergency dialing location somehow so it's not static?
Yes. So all I can say is this is as of September, and this area, around emergency calling and this this kind of static routing is something on the...
Any idea what the timeline would be on?
No, I couldn't say.
Come on.
I'm tempted to say maybe by the next time I present again, but then I might not be on stage for a long time. I don't know. All right. Yes?
We use a lot of common area phones for customers who come in.
Mm-hmm.
How do you deploy that in the online scenario?
Right. Great question. Common area phones. You know, on premises, you do a common area phone with a special object, and there's a different license requirement. We are, in fact, there was a session presented, I saw presented in the theater, and he showed it on there, so I don't feel bad saying. Over the next quarter, we're planning to release full common area phone support, like at least guidance on what to do for licensing and how to configure it. So you'll have something similar online. It's on our roadmap.
Okay, so they're going to create a new SKU, and then it may go into the services or something like that, or
yeah.
Okay, that's good.
There'll be a way to properly license it as a common area phone rather than like a user that has a full calling plan.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I haven't heard anybody talking about with the online PSTN is survivability. Do we just need to be changing our mindset there, or is there guidance around what to do with survivability?
Yeah, no, that's an excellent question about survivability. More rows I could add here, I guess. It's essentially, and I've asked about this before, because I came from an environment where we're doing a lot of on-premises deployment. Survivability was key. And it really turns out in a cloud, you know, this is filtered a little bit through me, but basically, if you're relying on the cloud, we need to change our mindset to make sure we have plenty of redundancy to the cloud. What does, you know, does survivability really make sense when so much of the rest of your line of business apps, everything else is going to be out there anyway? So you put you've got all your eggs in that basket, make sure you're really well connected to that basket. So the short answer is in the near-term roadmap, we don't have any changes coming in survivability for users that are homed online. We're fairly responsive to customer requests over time, so it could change, but that's what it is right now. Yeah. All right. Any other questions? Anybody want to see anything else? Okay.
On the PSTN routing, you said on the hybrid situation, when we move the user, do we still need to create a new custom voice route policy and assign them back? Or
yes.
Can I assign the same trunk after moving? Or will it take it automatically when I move?
Not sure. If they were an on-premises enterprise voice?
Today.
Yeah, they'll need to be assigned the voice routing policy. Because for enterprise voice, we use the usages that are in the voice policy. So the TechNet articles for moving them, you assign them a voice routing policy.
So you're saying we have to create a new custom voice policy?
A voice routing policy.
Yeah.
But you already have designed it. The hard work of figuring out what it should be was already done. You can use the same usages that were in the voice policy.
Right.
But you're adding them right to a voice routing policy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Hi. For emergency calling, user location information, how is that managed?
User location information for in which scenario?
So, you know, user is in Denver in office building one, mm-hmm. Versus New York office building two.
Right. So the only way we manage that today is in an on-premises deployment where you have the location information service. We manage subnets. So
for
online,
right.
Online we don't. They're static. Routes to 911 for online users.
I guess when the information is sent, how do we identify the location of the caller?
Oh, like when you do, okay, so not this emergency location here. So you're not identifying the current dynamic location of the caller.
Right.
You're associating a static location with that.
Okay.
With that
so
caller.
Okay.
You build your emergency locations here. When you assign them a phone number, you assign them the emergency location, presumably of their work address.
So currently it's static in the cloud?
Currently it's static.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
That's an area that we're looking to obviously improve. Right. But today it's static. You assign it to them at the time you assign their phone number.
Start with something. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you.
Is there a cloud connector in China? That's a great question. I've been told repeatedly that it's available globally. But the Office 365 service in China is, so if you're an enterprise maybe that's homed outside of China, Office 365 in China is run by a different company. And they don't have all the same PSTN options. So, but if you were a US-based company that had a China location, I presume you could, your tenant is in our regular Office 365 service, I presume you could connect cloud connector to it. That's true. Today, tenants are based only in one geography. I don't know if we had any sessions here. We're working on a local, basically users that are in a different geography from tenant would have their meetings hosted over there. So a multi-region service for tenants. A little outside the scope of what I was going to talk about. Anything else? All right, well, thanks. I'll give you guys a few minutes back and get after the. I appreciate your time.